From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Around 100 people faced the Alaska Capitol last night, chanting in support of a ceasefire in Gaza in opposition of Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposed bill that would crack down on unpermitted street protests in Alaska.
Ceasefire now! Ceasefire now! Ceasefire now! Ceasefire now! Ceasefire now!
Speaking through a megaphone, Salim Theo Huck says Dunleavy's bill is an attack on First Amendment rights for Alaskans.
We have a right to protest, and he's trying to take that away. This bill is wrong. It shouldn't exist. And that's why we say, respect the right to protest.
Respect the right to protest.
Respect the right to protest.
Respect the right to protest. Respect
the
right to protest.
The governor's bill, introduced last month, would criminalize unpermitted street protesting and other actions that block highways and access to public spaces. If the bill passed, it would create a new misdemeanor crime called obstruction of free passage in public places. It carries a maximum penalty of up to a year in prison and a $25,000 fine. On Monday night, the ralliers chanted for lawmakers to take action against the bill's passing and to publicly call for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. Juno for Palestine organizer Sonia Kumar says the group has been meeting with Juno's delegation and others in the state about the war between Israel and Hamas. She says the group will continue rallying to raise awareness on both topics.
I think it's really important for people to learn about things like this. And I mean, chanting at the building isn't really going to do that, but I think it's hopefully bringing more awareness to it and showing people that Juno does care.
Local resolutions calling for a Gaza ceasefire have been considered by a few cities across Alaska, but no legislation has been introduced at the state level. The House Transportation Committee heard Dunleavy's bill on unpermitted street protests this afternoon. And the Alaska legislature voted Monday to sustain Governor Mike Dunleavy's veto of a bipartisan education bill that would have significantly increased funding for public schools. The joint session of the state House and Senate fell one vote short of the 40 needed to override the veto. Much of the discussion centered on whether Dunleavy would allow the increase to the base student allocation included in the bipartisan bill to survive a line item veto at the end of the session. Here's Representative Tom McKay, a Republican from Anchorage.
Voting to override today does not guarantee a BSA increase of any amount. I also support our governor and trust his sense on education.
The vote comes 4 days after Dunleavy vetoed the measure, sparking rebukes from school districts and some lawmakers. Ahead of the session, leaders of the state House and Senate listed education funding as one of their top priorities and vowed to address the issue early. The bill passed the legislature overwhelmingly in February, but Dunleavy lobbied Republican lawmakers in recent days to sustain his veto. On Friday, Dunleavy repeatedly underscored his authority to reduce or eliminate budget items like education with a line item veto at the end of the session. But Senator Bert Stedman, a Sitka Republican, said lawmakers should stand behind the compromise bill.
The governor has a constitutional right to veto appropriations and or shrink them. But we'll cross that bridge, and he will cross that bridge when they get there. But the real question is the foundation formula reasonably practical for most school districts?
Representative Craig Johnson, an Anchorage Republican, offered another perspective, saying a vote in favor of the override would provide false hope for school districts as they build their budgets for the coming school year.
The governor's already vetoed 680. What makes you think he's not going to do it again?
Christina Terman is a parent of two students at Pearl Creek Elementary in Fairbanks, where the school board is considering closing three schools. She flew down to Juneau to watch the vote.
It's really sad. It just feels like it's showing where our state's priority is, and it doesn't seem like it's been education for a long time.
Advocates dressed in red, some printed with the slogan, Red for Ed, packed the hallways outside the House chamber ahead of the vote. The governor applauded the legislature's vote in a statement on social media, saying education funding will be prioritized and available. And schools in Sitka, Juneau, and across the state of Alaska have received new names in recent years to honor the history and culture of the land's original Alaska Native inhabitants. Now in Ketchikan, borough assembly members are considering changing the name of two of their schools. The issue was discussed at a recent assembly meeting. As KRBD's Jack Dell reports, the history behind one of the school's names is tied to a mysterious and controversial figure from Gold Rush days.
Schoenbar Middle School is ostensibly named after Schoenbar Creek, an offshoot of Ketchikan Creek, which runs through the town like a backbone. Schoenbar is spelled S-C-H-O-E-N-B-A-R, by the way. That's important because the creek is named after a mine near its mouth. That mine was owned by a man named Colonel John Schoenbar, without the C. More on that later. But who was John Schoenbar? And why are there schools and roads and creeks named after him? Dave Kiefer, local historian and mayor of Ketchikan, has been researching and writing about Schoenbar for years. By all accounts, Schoenbar showed up in Ketchikan around 1900. London Bridge is
falling down. He first shows up in some of the early mining journals, stories about him. He was obviously a promoter. He was what we like to call in the frontier a charming rogue.
He was well-dressed and charismatic. Think top hat, cane with a silver knob on it, ambiguous worldly accent, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, he was a very, very high society wherever he lived. Unfortunately, in every community he lived in, when he left, he always left behind debts.
And there's a lot we don't know about the man, and not just because of lost history and shoddy census records.
Details about his life are unclear at best, as they are with charming rogues. You know, they're just always kind of, The facts don't matter that much as what you're selling. And he, of course, was selling in Ketchikan a large gold mine.
And so he went back east to drum up support, which wasn't hard. Kiefer says if there's one thing that Schoenbar was good at mining, it was investors.
Everyone's saying, well, Alaska's full of gold. And he basically managed to go back east and, I guess, bilk is kind of a strong word. I don't even want to use that. But he relieved East Coast investors over the course of 5 years of an estimated $100,000.
That's over $2 million in modern money. A huge gold mine next to a growing town in southeast Alaska. You could almost hear the cartoonish cha-chinging ringing in the investors' ears.
So everyone wanted to believe, particularly in those days, because Juneau was getting wealthy, because Juneau had mines right next door. Why doesn't Ketchikan? Because we have all this quartz. Why don't we have mines here?
But it seems like the self-appointed colonel quickly learned why.
Well, for whatever reason, there's very little gold right next to Ketchikan. But he convinced everyone, yes, indeed, up what is now called Schoenbar Creek in Bear Valley, there's gold. There wasn't, of course. Yeah, pretty much everywhere Schoenbar went in life, he took money from people, did not repay that money. But as I said before, he was a charming rogue. Everyone, everyone wanted to jump on the bandwagon with Colonel Schoenbar.
He was mostly lost to history after he left Ketchikan in 1907. Historians believe he died in Oakland, California in the spring of 1920, but there's no records to prove it. Kiefer says Schoenbar wasn't held in high regard in those years. Sometime after that, though, the creek near the mine was named after him. No one really knows why, but Kiefer says probably just the quick judgment of a federal map maker. Something along the lines of, oh, the old Schoenbar mine was near here. Let's name it Schoenbar Creek. Kiefer says that's also probably how the C got added. Just a typo on a map. Chad Fry taught history at Schoenbar Middle School for almost 18 years.
So, like, Schoenbar is my home. I love teaching here. I love my content that I'm teaching here. I love the staff here. And so I just want Schoenbar to be the best place it can be.
Which Fry says is why he took to the podium at a recent borough assembly meeting to speak in favor of renaming his home.
One of the most important things we can have at a school is visual representation of leaders from many different ethnic groups, because when students walk into a school, they see a visual representation of themselves.
Fry says renaming the school isn't about the school itself. It's about the students. He says his number one job as a teacher is to make students feel safe. Fry says that historical trauma can be a barrier for education for his Alaska Native students. There are those that disagree with renaming the school, though. One is Shemaine Thomas, who spoke at the same borough meeting. Thomas said she's an alumni of Schoenbar and Ketchikan High School.
I feel it is a waste of time, money, and a detriment to those of us raised here that want our alma mater left alone.
Thomas recalled wearing her K-High Letterman jacket with other members of her graduating class at 4th of July parades and feeling a sense of school pride. Why would we agree to give that up, she asked. If moved forward, the proposal to rename the school would kick off a lengthy committee process to decide on the official names. At the borough meeting, the assembly voted to postpone further consideration to April in order to gather more information. In Ketchikan, I'm Jack Darrell.
And as for the weather, it's currently 56 degrees and sunny today here in Juneau. The low tonight is 34 degrees. And we're going to get more of these warm and sunny days the rest of this week and this weekend. You're listening to KTOO.